This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good evening, listeners. What a joy to be with you again. And we're still in Women's Month.
Mm.
And this is the month, yes, and a man saying,
I love the women in my life.
Well, I'm grateful. And so we're still talking about specifically two women and women struggling with addictions or people that can share their experiences with us. And then the main theme of this month is women's challenges and God's faithfulness. And that is such a joy today to talk to Jamie de Kock today. Welcome, Jamie.
Hi, thank you so much.
Yeah, we're so happy to talk to you on the program today. Jamie,
I'm happy to.
Thank you, Jamie. So Jamie's not been in recovery for a long time. So thank you, Jamie, for being willing to share your story, even though it still might be a bit raw and very fresh in your mind. And so tell us a little bit about your life, any place where you want to start.
So I guess I'll start at the beginning.
That's a good place.
Yes, obviously.
Yes.
Since I was 14 to the age of 16, I started getting the wrong friends and so on. And I obviously rebelled against my parents. We lived in a complex, so when I started misusing drugs and bringing wrong friends into the complex, it was out of my mother's control when I turned 16, and the landlord, she told me I had to vacate the premises. And from there, my mother couldn't really do anything, so I went to the streets on the age of 16.
Hmm.
After that, for 4 years, it was a rough ride. The first 2 years of addiction, I had to find my feet on the street. And after that, after 4 years on the street, my aunt, Bomin, she came, I was standing on the robot begging for money, and she came, she drove past, and she was like, and my mother repeatedly tried to help me, and I didn't want to help. I didn't want anyone's help for 4 years. I got multiple opportunities to get help, but I didn't grab them.
May I ask you, they might just come in there and say, why not? I can't imagine that it's good to live on the street. So what makes it worthwhile that you didn't want to really accept help?
I didn't want to leave the drugs. And all the people that wanted to help me, they obviously I had to leave the drugs behind.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite hectic.
But Jamie, what I was also wondering, you were saying that you had to find your feet on the street. What does that mean?
On the street, it's a very challenging place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't just, I'm going to say this very rawly, but you can't just go sleep anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You need to fit in. You need to have your way of bringing money in.
Wow.
Whether now it's stealing, prostitution, selling drugs, whatever.
So you had to figure out how does it work,
What does it mean to live on the street, It seems to me that a whole community on its own, everybody on the street.
Yeah. Do you guys know each other? And do you, for example, have a place where you are that's your place to stand? Because you always say people standing at the street. So how does that work?
There is parts that are that groups and that groups and that groups. And I think also that is also the reason a lot of people and children, they feel like they want to run away because they have no, they want to be, I don't know the word to say.
Yeah, they want to belong somewhere, isn't it?
Or they want to be independent?
Yeah, they want to, they want to know that this is mine and you can't cross this because then there will be consequences.
It's like a
tutorial, I think you call it. Territorial.
Maybe, or just a sense of ownership.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Now, that's also what also kept me there is I knew this is mine and nobody's going to take it from me because it was mine and I worked for it. Nobody was going to take that from me.
Okay, so you said then you got used to it. You were on the streets for us it's strange. We often see people on the streets and we can't even imagine. Where did you sleep?
I adjusted, like we built tents and so on. The first year or so, I still lived by my friends and so. But then they would like, I'm baggage and I can't stay there for free. Yes. Wow. So then I had to, the last 2 years was kind of hectic because then I was like flat on the streets. I had to sleep outside and all that stuff. So,
sure. That's an enormous challenge. And, this month we are talking about the challenges that women have, but God's grace and His faithfulness. To help us come out of that. So you were saying that your aunt reached out to you to help you, and you actually took the help. What motivated you this time to receive the help?
She fetched me last year, January now, December the 25th on Christmas. I got a real bad beating from one of the guys that I was living with. I think that was the trigger, shall I say? I was scared, and he was my safe space, and now he's abusing me. So I think that's what led me to just the original plan was they were only going to go buy me some stuff and so on. But then my aunt asked, "But why don't you come home? What's keeping you here?" So I said, "Okay, let's go fetch my stuff." And I fetch my clothes and so on, and my aunt took me home.
Wow. Yes. And then what caused you to stay? I think that must have been quite an adjustment for you to get out of that. And what did your aunt just accept you back unconditionally? Could you still continue with drugs? Or did she say, if you come back, you're not allowed to use anymore?
Oh, no, definitely I was not able to use anymore. She told me that before I went with, and I knew that, and I was willing to try it.
And what happened? I felt
I've had 4 years of this now.
Wow.
I need something else. I need to live a little.
Yeah.
Yes. Is it interesting, like in the beginning of the 4 years, you might have thought you wanted to live a little. That was very different, right, on your own.
It is.
And then after 4 years of living a little, you realize that wasn't real life. You couldn't live like that.
Yeah. In our program, we talk about the reality, restoration and redemption in the face of addiction. And this is exactly where you eventually arrived at the reality of your situation and the conditions that you're under.
Wow. And so what happened in this next phase? Sorry, you say it wasn't?
Yeah, it wasn't something for anyone should be, I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy.
But it's amazing how we allow it on ourselves, isn't it?
So for
myself, at the height of my addiction, my process addiction, I made certain choices, and those choices had very bad effects on me, but... Yes. Those are choices I was making and allowing them to influence my life. And I think for me, it was really a question of coming from my toxic shame and thought that I deserve a bad life because I'm flawed and everybody says I'm flawed. And so I'm a bad person.
You're going to be flawed.
Yes.
Yeah.
It also reminds me of the story of the lost son. and of his father, because he went to his father and he said to his father, I want to have the money now, which was quite, you know, quite arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
You're not dead yet, but give me the money. I need it now. And his father knew he was going to live it out and spend it on a bad life. And his father gave it to him. So it was interesting. It seems like something when we want to go, and that's what I think is very hard for parents that are listening right now, and their children say, but I want to go. And like you said, nothing would have stopped you. That's what you wanted to do, and that's what you did. And this is also just to say to parents, sometimes we need to let go and wait patiently, like the lost son, or actually the father of the lost son, who was waiting with his arms open every day, waiting for his child to come back, and not trying to stop him or to get him back. Because you said your mom also wanted to help you. She wanted to try and get you off the streets. Of course, it must have been terrible for her to see you on the streets.
Still today, I feel bad for what I did to my mom those 4 years. Because I would like go visit her, like see her on her way home from work, and then I would ask her, but I would cry and like, Mommy, I want to come home. And then she can't take me in. And then she'd tell me, like, I lie awake at night wondering where you are. Do you think it's nice for me? I've got catching up to do.
Yes. But also, let's continue with the faithfulness of God, the next part of the story. So we need to take a quick break, and then we will tell more. Thank you. So welcome back, Jamie. So you were telling us about living on the streets, and then your aunt came. So let's talk about this next chapter of your life after the 4 years on the street. What happened then?
It seems to me that there really was an intervention of some sort.
Is your aunt a Christian? So I'm wondering, why did she risk to take you in? Sorry, we're talking all over the place. You can choose where you want to go to next.
No problem. So my aunt, she's a priest at a church. It's a Methodist church in Spain. Now, when she took me in, I knew that I was going to give my life to Jesus, and because I knew that I would have to fill that hole in myself with something else. For the drugs, I would have to fill it with something else. So it went good for about 2-3 months, and my aunt got me on my feet. We got me new stuff. I got my own room. I got a phone. All that types of stuff. I've proven myself to my aunt for that 3 months. Enough to be able to get those things. So after a while, we thought that I need to get myself a job now. And I volunteered at Hebrews.
Just tell people what Hebrews is.
Hebrews is a Christian coffee shop, also in Strand. That's quite what it is.
Okay, and then you volunteered as a waitress.
Yes, so I was volunteering for about 3 months.
Just a moment before you continue. I think it's amazing that you were volunteering. That really showed that you wanted to work, because I think so many people who are not serious about work will say, oh, I can't get a job, I can't get paid. But you were serious, so you were even willing to work and to get experience. So that's great. Okay, continue from there.
But unfortunately, I slipped a bit. Because the location of Hebrews was around the people that I used to live with.
Oh, right, so your old community.
It's still, but I'm a bit stronger now. I felt sorry for my friends, and I started reconnecting with them. I won't call them friends now, but that time. And unfortunately, I relapsed, and nobody knew for about a month. But my aunt was suspicious. And I started stealing at Hebrews and stealing at home, and it was bound to come out.
So because you had to buy drugs, is that why you were stealing? Or
Yes. You never get enough. There's always, you just always need more. So I got caught at work stealing. And it was one day that my aunt phoned me and she's like, look here, there's a lot of money missing here. And that day I was caught at work also stealing, and I was lying. I was just lying to everyone. Mm. And so thank goodness I didn't go to jail. Mm. But my aunt gave me an option. She said, I must either give the money back, which I couldn't because there was no money to give back, mm. or I must like go back to the streets because it was a lot of money mm. that I took. And she was devastated, my aunt. But luckily, my employer at Hebrews, Hester and Dave, when they caught me on the camera stealing, they approached me separately and they asked me, like, what is the problem? They didn't quite know, like, how deep I was into it. But so I told them that I would get back what I stole from them. Mm. And they said, okay. And I had to go home for, like, 3-4 days. And after that, I came back to work and they gave me such a generous offer. So they offered to send me to rehab. Mm. That wow. time, yeah. That time, I've only experienced rehab on movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know what a rehab was. And I always thought that if someone's going to send me to a rehab, they're going to leave me there and they're going to forget about me and I'm never going to see anyone again. Mm. So that was my opinion of a rehab.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So I went there for 6 months. That is obviously where I reconnected with Jesus. I think if it wasn't for that rehab, I wouldn't be where I am today. Mm.
Can you tell us the name of the rehab that you'd been to?
Al Yara Sending. It's in Fredenburg.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so how did that help you? What program did you do there at the rehab?
I don't think it's a program that you get on the internet, but we had it's almost like a school day, mm-hmm. but it was in the morning, it was Bible study. After Bible study, you would get life skills, which now shows you the tools you can use for challenges when you meet them outside of rehab. Mm-hmm. That's life skills. And then after that, it's discipleship, studying the Bible. And then we would also listen to recordings of Joyce Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we had to stick to that program every day for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave me a whole new routine. We did counseling as well.
Mm.
Because obviously the addiction didn't come out of the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, there's some wounds. It comes
deep down.
From wounds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Some
yes.
root mm. issues, yeah.
Mm. Mm.
Yes. But so we worked from the bottom to the top.
Mm.
And yeah.
Wow.
So what I hear, Jamie, is something very, very important. God's faithfulness throughout this time, even when you were on the streets.
Yes. I think my guardian angels worked overtime.
and what I also see, what actually started with the change, is when you were given a choice, either go back to the streets or pay the money back. And that is what we often call the gift of desperation, because you knew what it was like on the streets, but you didn't have money to pay back what you owed. So, and that is often at the point where we are willing to admit our powerlessness and starting to admit that we need some steps.
Mm.
And it often allows us to get into a step program, a step 12, a 12-step program.
Mm. 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 So, or whatever programs you like, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Now that you mentioned the powerlessness, I can remember.
Mm.
You must first accept that you never controlled the drug. Mm. It controlled you.
Yes.
Your powerlessness. Yeah. Mm. Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. So, and you know what I see, Jamie? I see, as it's Women's Month, I see all the women involved in your life. Your mom that was praying for you and worried about you.
Yes.
Your aunt that extended an invitation for you. The people that you're working now, it's a man, a woman, and her husband. But it's also a woman. Yes. Lots of women, hey, that were involved in...
Yes.
In this whole redemption. So God's
My
grace.
Family is just women.
Is it? Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So I don't believe we need men.
So what's been happening now? So you've been away from this treatment center now for a few months. How many months?
I would say 9 to 11 months.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's quite a time, yes.
And so what's been happening? Yes.
I've been doing good. I'm giving myself a lot of credit here, but I'm doing really good.
Mm.
I have a lot of support.
Mm. Very important, eh?
Support. I've also got like 5 accountability partners.
Very good. Wow.
Yeah, they all help me.
So what kind of help do you have if you say you have a lot of support?
So at work, I've got support, obviously.
Mm.
My family is my number one support branch, shall I say.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I'm doing, I don't know what to call it, but it's extra classes.
Mm-hmm. Almost like a counseling?
Yes, almost like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lady, she saw me, she met me at Hebrews.
Mm.
And then she told me, like, God put me on her heart and she wants to, provide.
Yeah. So it sounds like coaching. Is it like coaching? Hey.
A mentoring, yeah. Coaching or mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Something like that. But I see her every Wednesday and we are developing myself. Like, almost like the counseling I had in rehab.
Mm.
She's doing that with me.
Someone also said it's emotional intelligence to help you to understand your emotions, how to process your emotions and where to go and what to do with those emotions, which is very important, hey? Because a person who actually comes off the street or comes off drugs, very, very important.
Very important. But I think that the change that came in you was not only to get away from the drugs. I would like to know, how did your relationship with God, your intimacy with God, change from the time you were in the street until it is now?
It's not a major change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working on my relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I do, can I say, acknowledge Him. I do know that things that happen in my life, it's not just coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that lady didn't offer me the classes because it's a coincidence.
Yeah.
You guys didn't call me because it's a coincidence. Mm. You called me because God put me in your heart.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, and we checked with several people whether it's okay to talk to you. And they all were very happy and said they can see such a big change and they see God's work in your life.
Mm.
And I'm great. Yeah. It's so refreshing that you're so honest, you know. It takes time to develop a strong relationship with God. It doesn't come overnight.
Yeah.
And when I spoke to you before the interview, you told me you read Bible, but you speak to God more than what you're reading Bible. So you still...
Yeah.
On the road to develop your intimacy with God, which is good.
Yes.
And you have people around you and you are doing Bible study and there are people that are walking with you, which is crucial because we cannot do it on our own.
Yep.
So what do you want to say to other people that are listening today? Do you have any message that you want to share? Because we need to almost conclude the program.
I don't know. All I can say is, you must just submit. Submit to God. Without God, you can't really make it through addiction.
Right. And you told me you had to surrender, hey? It sounds like that was the key. Stop trying to figure things out by yourself.
Stop trying to control it myself. Yes.
Thank you so much, Jamie, for being with us. And just a final comment from myself before we close. And that is what I can see. There is intimacy with God, not perfect, because we very seldom have perfect intimacy, but intimacy with God, with other people, those closest to you, with yourself, and because you are getting to know yourself as you are going through getting emotional intelligence. So there's an intimacy that is busy building, and you are in a process. So thank you so much for being with us, Jamie. And listeners, please remember that if something caught your attention about this interview, go to the podcasts at www.kpulpa.co.za/podcasts/into-me-c.
For intimacy.
And get that podcast and listen to it again and send it to a friend.
Yeah, that may be struggling, or a mom that's struggling with a child that ran away. Yes, and remember to write to us. If you also know about other people that can talk to us, please and tune in every Tuesday evening. Till next time, God bless.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.